Good morning and welcome. Just like to for us as we were in Thailand and Taiwan, good to see those from our congregation that are over in Asia, and they send their greetings. And also just invite you to continue to pray with us for Mike and Sherry. They're in Taiwan. They're Buddhists. They don't know the Lord, but friends, and it was good to be with them, and we continue to pray that, the Lord will bring them to the knowledge of salvation. This morning we're back in the book of Ephesians again, in chapter 4, the last part of this chapter. You remember, just by way of review, that the first half of the book, the first three chapters, Paul is telling us about all of our blessings, all that we have in Christ. And he just lays out so much for us there that it's just almost overwhelming. Then in chapter 4, the last half of the book, he shifts to a different theme. And that starts with, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you, by the mercies of God, that you walk worthy of the calling that you're called with. So he's telling us now, it's not that we have to walk in a way to deserve the blessings, because the blessings have already been given by God's grace. But he's telling us that we need to walk in a way that's going to bring glory to God. It's going to make God look good. And he goes into a number of things here to help us to understand what that looks like for us. So I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to the end, 32 there. This I say, therefore, and by the way, the first part of this chapter we looked at was we do the walking worthy by working to keep the unity of the Spirit and working to enter into the unity of the faith. That was his message for us in the first part of this chapter. Now in the last part of this chapter he says, so I'm saying this therefore, because of the fact that we're one body, that we're serving one God, that there is one faith, because of all of those things, now I'm saying to you that you henceforth, from here forward, you don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. So he's talking to Gentiles, he's talking to us, and he's saying, look, all the people around you, they are walking the way they're walking for a reason. But you don't have that same reason, and so you don't walk like they walk. Okay? That's what he's communicating to us here. They walk in the vanity of their mind, and we'll go back and we'll look at some of this. They have the understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their past feeling, they've given themselves over to sensuality, lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you haven't learned Christ like that. If so be that you've heard Him, and you've been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, or former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're part of one body, remember? So be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give opportunity to the devil. He's out there seeking for opportunities to have a place or an opportunity in our life. So don't give that to him. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Instead of taking, he's giving. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay. So we want to think about this thing of walk, and this title came to me because I remembered a little story. This drunk guy was standing at a street corner, and he calls his wife to come and pick him up, and she says, "Well, where are you?" Well, he says, "I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk." So we're at the corner of walk and don't walk. When we're standing on the corner of a street, the one sign says walk and the one sign says don't walk, right? So depending where you're going, what your purpose is in walking, you either can walk or you don't walk, right? And if you don't walk when you should walk, you lose out. And if you walk when you shouldn't walk, you get in trouble. You might get run over, right? So this whole thing is important for us. It's a picture for us. Walking says a lot about us. If I'm walking along like this, what's probably going on with me?
Just lost your friend.
I'm sad. I'm struggling with something, worried about something. Something's going on inside of me, right? I need coffee. I don't need that, Craig. So that's not that for me. So, you know, how we walk tells a lot about us. And that's what Paul is talking to us about here. How are we going to walk as people who have experienced the blessings of heaven being given to us? What are we going to do with that? How's that going to get fleshed out in our lives? So, you know, we want to just think about these things and ask ourselves some questions about this, because our walk is an indicator. It's telling about us. By the way, the Daily Bread, if you didn't read it this morning, is about a guy that walked across Antarctica, 900 miles or something like that, 54 days. So that walking was important. Do you know you have a unique walk? In China, they have face recognition, but they also have other recognition. And they did an experiment. I was told about this not too long ago. They did an experiment where they turned the guy loose in town, and the cameras only looked from the waist down. And they found the guy within 8 minutes by his walk. A few years back, I was involved in a prank and went running away, and the person that I pranked said they knew right away who it was. They could tell by the footsteps. Duh. Bummer. So we have each of us have a unique walk. Our walk is important, and it tells what's going on inside of us. Somebody that's happy, you can watch how they walk. Somebody that's sick, that's hurting, you can see it in their walk. Okay, so our walk is important. You might walk like your parents. Somebody may say, well, I can see your dad when you walk. That could be part of it. We might be recognized by our walk. Where does walking take place?
Everywhere.
Exactly, everywhere. In our world, we drive. So, we got to kind of count that as walking too. But we're moving. We're going someplace. We're doing something. What does walking? What's the base of walking? The basic thing behind walking. What is it? Getting from point A to point B. But how do we do that? We're there. One foot in front of the other. Awesome. Steps. Right? Our walking consists of steps. And that's what Paul is talking about in these three chapters. What steps am I taking in my life that's been blessed by the grace of God with all the blessings of heaven? What steps am I taking that are going to bring God glory? That are going to make people think about what I've been given and maybe want that as well? Or am I taking steps that people are looking and saying, if that's a Christian, I sure don't want that. So, our walking takes place in everyday life. It's part of what we do. And so it's an important thing for us. How important is our walk as a child of God? On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it? 10 for sure, maybe a 15 or a 20, right? It is important. Because how we walk reflects on our Father. It reflects on the body. It reflects on each other. We're members of one body. So our walk is something that's essential. It's critical. And Paul addresses this for these three chapters of Ephesians. And so he started out the first part of this chapter by saying, part of your walk is that you are determined to walk in unity. The unity of the Spirit. There's one Spirit. And you are determined to walk in that unity. Part of that desire, that walk, is that you walk in faith. And now he's saying, okay, part of that walk is that you walk differently than you used to walk. You walk differently than the people around you that have not experienced the blessings of God. We're not walking to obtain the blessings of God. We're walking to display the blessings of God. Okay? We need to get that straight. We're not walking so that God looks down and says, oh, man, that guy's doing awesome. He's going to have more blessings. No. We're walking because God has already blessed us with all the blessings of heaven, and we're responding to that in appreciation. in love, in living out what He's given to us and done for us. Then the last question that I want us to think about here is, how does our walk, our steps, reflect our Father? So this step that I take right now, how does that reflect my Father? This step that I take right now, how does that reflect my Father? See, we get too interested in the bigger picture. Okay? We're wanting to know, you know, what is God's will, and you know, should I do this, shouldn't I do that? And we're thinking about next Sunday at church. But we need to be thinking about each step I take and what that looks like. What are my thoughts right now as I'm walking? What are my actions? What are my attitudes right now as I'm walking? Okay? And that's what he's talking about in this. So we want to just look at this a little bit. Our walk is something, there's over 65 verses in the New Testament that relate to our walk. So it's pretty important. And here's a few of them just to get us thinking. Romans 6:4, just like Christ was buried, so we're buried by baptism into death. And like He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. We should, because of Christ. We should walk in newness of life. And then Romans 8:11, he says we shouldn't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So my walk is not under my control, it's under the control of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. My walk is not the way I see it. My walk is the way God sees it. Okay? So all of these things about our walk are telling us something that God desires for us every day, every moment of our lives. He's not just talking about what we do on Sunday morning for an hour or two. He's talking about our lives and how we live and where we live and what we do. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. That you would walk worthy of God who's called you into His kingdom and glory. What he's saying is, we talked about this when we preached the last time about walking worthy. He's not saying that we somehow walk so that God accepts us. He's saying God has accepted us. He's called us into His kingdom and His glory. He's poured out His blessings. And we respond to that by walking accordingly. Revelation chapter 3. There's a few names, even in Sardis, which haven't defiled their garments. They're going to walk with me. I like that. I like that a lot. Are you walking with Jesus today? He says, you guys, you're going to walk with me. Well, the reason they were going to walk with him, future tense, is because they were walking with him right then, right? So it's important. All right, so now let's think about this whole thing of don't walk. And I want to just, if you take this passage of Scripture, I just challenge you to do this. Just go through this and just look at the contrast that he's giving. So don't walk like other Gentiles. They walk in vanity or futility, emptiness, profitlessness of their mind. They're doing, their steps are directed by what they think. All of us are. What we think determines how we walk, right? So Craig recognized that I was thinking something sad, something discouraging, and I walked accordingly. So our steps are a result of what we're thinking. So he says, don't walk like the other Gentiles where your mind is empty. It's involved in all futility. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. There's no value. And so your steps are accordingly. Don't walk like that. Don't walk with a darkened understanding where you just, things are not clear. You're not walking in the light. You're not able to see things and understand things properly. Peter talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding could be enlightened. Not in darkness. He talks about not being walking like other Gentiles where we're alienated from the life of God. And if you go back into chapter 2 there, 12, 13, 19, he talked about this. That before the grace of God poured out salvation upon us, before that was our experience, we were alienated from God, from the life of God. So don't walk like you're strangers and not in fellowship and relationship with God. Walk like you have the life of God as children of God. We'll talk about how we're supposed to walk after this, but all of these things he's talking about, don't walk this way because this is what you were. And so it's a little bit difficult for us sometimes when we make a change to recognize this is what we were and this is what we are. So he's saying, don't walk as what you were. Don't walk in ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. Walk in understanding. Don't allow Satan to rob you of all that God wants you to have through ignorance. Don't walk in hardness of heart. How soft is your heart? I've got to admit, there's just too many times when my heart is hard. And I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, just soften my heart. You know, when we can walk by someone in need and have no feeling about that need, that's hardness of heart. When we can look at someone and think that what they're going through they deserve, that's hardness of heart. When we look around us and we think that our life would be better off if this person wasn't in my life, that's hardness of heart. He says, that's the way Gentiles walk. Don't walk that way. Don't let that be a part of your experience. And so I often cry out to the Lord, Lord, my heart is so hard. I need you to touch my heart. Make it tender. Make it soft. Make it like yours. We have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His heart is not hard. And our hearts should not be hard. We should not walk in hardness of heart. Along with that, a callousness and out of that sensuality. It's interesting, if you look at all of this, it all ties together. How we think, our understanding, our relationship with God, what kind of a heart we have, those all tend toward sensuality. Because what is there to motivate our lives if that's what's going on within us? Our senses, right? If we're empty, our mind is empty and vain, our understanding's darkened, we're alienated from God, we're walking in ignorance, our heart is hard, then all that's left is our senses to direct our steps. And so our steps are directed and guided and with the purpose of what I feel. My senses. My five senses. And so our life becomes sensual. And that's what that word lasciviousness is there that he brings out. And he says, you're not to walk like your old self. It's corrupt. It's got deceitful desires. And Jeremiah talks about that. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As Gentiles, that's what directs our steps. He says, don't walk there. We come to the sign at the corner, and God is putting that sign there, and he says, don't walk. Don't walk. There's a reason. There's a purpose. But he also says, walk. And we want to walk this way. And so he gives us a whole list of things here, and they're interwoven here some, but I want us to just notice this. We're to walk as children of God. We're to walk by speaking the truth. We're to speak the truth to one another in love. Why? Because we're part of the body. We're part of the family. And so we're to share with one another truthfully. In contrast to the Gentile who's only interested in himself. We're interested in one another. We're interested in the body, and most of all, we're interested in our Father. We are to have anger for unrighteousness. When I think about what just happened to Sasha Krause in New Mexico, I get angry. It was horrible. It was horrible. Just horrible. And you and I, when we see the works of the devil being played out in our world, should become angry. To be just passive about those things is not what God calls us to do. When we see injustice, when we see the devil stealing, killing, and destroying in people's lives, and we just sit by and say, oh, well, that's not what God wants from us. He wants our steps to be directed in His way, and part of His way is anger toward wickedness. Now, we're not to be angry. He says we're to be angry and sin not. We're not to be angry with revenge. We're not to be angry for our own purposes. James talks about that. He says, you know, if we're angry, the the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger within ourselves, about ourselves and what happens to us, is not where it's at. But we are to be angry against the wickedness and the injustice that's going on in our world. That righteous anger, he says there, protects us from the devil so that we don't give him place. When we don't view wickedness and unrighteousness in that sort of way, we are actually giving opportunity and place to the devil to continue to do his work. So he's saying we need to walk in this. We need to walk in such a way so that we work so we can share, so we can give. Our work is not all so that we can have what we want. And in any contrast, he said, you know, let the guy that used to steal, don't steal anymore. Let him work with his hands so that he can have to give to those that have need. You see the contrast? The Gentile way is to take from others. God's way of walking is that we share with others. That our heart is concerned for others. Just because we work hard does not mean that we're walking in the steps that God wants us to walk in. If everything we're working for, we're turning back to ourselves, we're not any different from the thief. You ever thought about that? They're both Gentile ways of looking at things. We're to speak life and grace and things that build up. We are living in a day when the Gentile world has pushed in on us in this area, and we will not even admit it. Our steps are to be our speech as part of our steps, our way of walking is to be for the purpose of building up, of encouraging, of strengthening. If our steps, our speech, are tearing down, are speaking death, are taking away from people, we're walking as Gentiles. So he's saying, walk this way. Walk in a way that your speech is full of life and grace and builds up. When we've been someplace, when we've been with someone, and we leave, do they feel beat down? Or do they feel lifted up? Do they feel encouraged and strengthened? I think it's something we need to ask ourselves. As part of our walk, we need to please our faithful helper, the Holy Spirit. Not grieving Him, not making Him feel bad that He showed up and tried to teach us, tried to help us. That's part of our walk. We walk in such a way that the Holy Spirit is pleased with how we walk. He's spoken to us. He's our helper. He's there beside us, our comforter. And as He walks with us, we walk accordingly. The last verse there, he mentions three things that are very key in how God expects us to walk, how He desires us to walk. The first one is kindness. Be ye kind one to another. Unkindness is Gentile. Unkindness is worldly. That word Gentile there we could trade for worldly. It's the same thing. Unkindness, it does not matter who it is to. If we're walking in unkindness, we are walking as a Gentile. And he says, stop it. Don't walk there. Walk in kindness. Walk in tenderness of heart. Remember? Don't walk in hardness of heart. Walk in tenderness of heart. You want to know whether you're walking in tenderness of heart or hardness of heart? It's not too hard. All you have to do is stop and think about how you feel about a situation. If your heart starts getting hard, that's hardness of heart. If your heart is soft and the tears come, and it becomes something that you feel compassion in, that's tender-hearted. That's tender-hearted. And again, I confess, I stand here and I confess that tender-heartedness is something that I need. And I ask God for. Lord, help me to be like you. You know what he's saying? If this verse ends with, even as God for Christ's sake. This is what God has done for us because of Christ. Now, we're to do that also because of Christ. We're to walk this way because of the fact that in Christ we've received grace. In Christ we received relationship. In Christ we've received all that God has to offer for us and to us. And so we're kind, we're tender-hearted, we're forgiving one another. Who do we forgive? Those that treat us well? That's not what forgiveness is about, is it? Forgiveness is about those that don't treat us well. How had we treated God when Christ died? Now, I realize we're talking about spiritual truths here. Christ died before we were born. But our response to God was rejection, rebellion, stubbornness. And God forgave us in Christ. I'm saying, you do the same. You and I walk in forgiveness. I think there's something here that's of such importance that Paul, it seems like that he just has a hard time to get done talking about this. He goes back, and we'll talk about it some more in chapter 5. And the key word there is walk in love. So when you start reading chapter 5, look at that. But it just seems like he's looking and he's saying, this is so important. Don't walk. The sign is there. It's right there for us to see. Don't walk like other Gentiles, but walk this way. Walk this way. When we walk this way, we're walking worthy. We're walking in such a way to bring honor and glory to God. Walk like a grown-up Christian. Walk so that, like he says in Thessalonians 4:1, walk how ye ought to walk and to please God, and so abound more and more. increase in that walk. So I'd like to just have us stop and bow our heads and just ask the Lord to show us this morning by His Spirit something very specific that He wants to change in our lives so that we are walking not as Gentiles, but walking in a way that is expressing to God that we appreciate all the blessings that He's poured out on us. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. Stand together for prayer.